the reading from the prophet Isaiah. The early Christian church, when trying to make sense out of what Jesus had taught
and what had happened,
turned to the ancient prophets to understand.
To do a little preparing, to get a sense of what we were.
They found words that sounded a note of resonance with Jesus and his teaching.
So it involved not only experiencing another culture, but
they pointed to this reading,
the Spirit in new ways,
calling them to a renewed commitment to the ways of God.
So our leader, Doris,
we read from Isaiah
and invited Julio Cachoy to come
to
that group and give us a sense of his
story.
This
is what Isaiah,
the son of Amoz, a sense of what we were heading
saw
into.
Concerning Judah
Julio,
and Jerusalem.
First time I met Julio.
And it shall come
Julio's
to pass
of,
in the last
of,
days
strength and wisdom with an amazing
that
story,
the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established.
And I'm grateful
as the highest
among
of
us
all
on
the
Sunday
mountains.
When we talk about hope.
It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come.
Sakiki wonohel. Subalach kinkikotik in kochkiwot. Maltios chenu tabeshik. Maltios. Good morning to everyone. I was saying the same thing in my Mayan language, which is called Maya Quiche. In Guatemala, my beautiful country, my wonderful country. We have 22 Mayan languages, and we are about 5 million Mayan people. So we are the Mayan from the history. 8,000, 5,000 years ago, the Mayan people were living in this beautiful territory.
And their spears into pruning hooks.
Oh, and they were creating a beautiful, beautiful civilization. So today, we still have 22 Mayan languages. Maltiosh.
O descendants
so today,
of the house of Jacob,
I am really happy to have
come,
the opportunity to share my journey from hate to hope. And in order to understand my hope, I have to talk about where
in some parts
the hate
of the early church,
was coming from. So I'm sorry, but I have to talk about
written,
the pain, the hope,
there was
the
a
hate.
Clear expectation
but
that
before
Jesus
that,
was coming
before
back.
That, I would like to share
there was not clear agreement
the best
on
part
how that
of my life.
Happen. But the expectation
in the 60s, when I was born,
he could
if
be
you go around the world looking for the most happy
God
little boy, it was in Guatemala.
Something really big.
It was on the mountains
and out
of Guatemala.
Of this expectation,
I was the most
came the call
happy little boy.
To be ready.
I remember how my parents, my grandparents,
Advent,
they teach us love,
hear that
compassion,
again,
tenderness.
To bring that
I remember being on
God's
the mountains,
into our
enjoying
lives,
the creation.
Every day.
I remember, for example, we have to work because Guatemala, we have some challenge. So we have
we
to work.
From Matthew chapter 20.
My work was to go to the mountains, pick the wood,
to 44.
And bring it to my house. And my mom
but
was using the wood in the kitchen.
No hour.
It was so beautiful
no
to see
knows.
Every morning the sunrise.
No,
there is a word in our Mayan language,
heaven,
which is Ishpakapopik. When we say Ishpakapopik, we are saying
as
the darkness
the
is gone.
Noah,
the lights are coming.
So it will be
beautiful colors
the
are in
the
sky.
Man.
Wake up and see it.
For in
that's
the days before the flood.
So I was 6, 7,
were
8.
And, drinking,
and I wanted to see it because it's so much to
marriage,
see it.
Up
I didn't have
to
shoes.
The day Noah entered the ark,
because it was normal. No, don't have
they
shoes
knew
there.
Nothing
and I
about
feel
what
the earth when I was walking through
the
mountains.
The
sometimes it's very cold, but it's nice because you feel life.
That is how it will be.
So in reality, I was enjoying my life. I remember the tenderness of my grandparents.
One
every time when we meet them, we have to kiss their hands.
Two women
the elders for the Mayan cultures
the
are very important because the
one
elders are the keepers
the
of the wisdom.
Left.
And we have
therefore,
to respect that.
Keep
and
watch,
I remember that.
Because you do not
they teach
know
us
on what day
how to love everyone and
come.
Everything. We were we are people of love.
And understand this.
And yes, being in Guatemala as a third world country,
at what time did
yes,
the
there are some challenges.
He would
for
have
example,
kept watch
poverty. It's true.
Would not
poverty
have
it's a social
his
problem.
House to be broken into.
But Always I
so
think of in this way.
Also must be
when
ready,
we, when we, when my brothers and I, when we come back from the mountains with the wood,
at an hour
we have to go and have breakfast. So I have 8 brothers and 3 sisters. So my parents didn't have enough money to buy 1 egg for each brother. So we have to share 1 egg between 2 brothers. And of course, in the beginning, when I was 6, when my mom was cutting the egg, when I was looking at the pieces, I wanted the big piece. And I was fighting with my brothers to have the big piece. But then if you do this for 10 years, then you learn that you have to share. And then sharing became a principle in our lives. And it was the same in the night. We didn't have 11 beds. We have to sleep together. We have to share space. So sometimes it was so cold in the night, and my brother will ask, "Are you okay?" And if I tell him, "No, I'm cold," so my brother will give his part of the blanket to keep me warm. So that's tenderness. So even though we were living under poverty, not necessarily it was totally bad, because we were learning that sharing is an important part in people's life. So we went to learn about sharing. Conclusion about my life being a little boy. I was the most happy, full of love little boy. But the problem was, I didn't know that in 1960, as a country, we were confronting a revolution, a war. I didn't know anything about that. My life was a dream. But then the war came to my life and destroyed this little boy. The war came with the violence, and they killed this little boy that I have inside. That's the beginning of hate. I won't talk about the war because I didn't make it. I'm going to talk about what the war did to me and to my family and to my community. When I was 13, I started to see what war means, what the war means. I was with my father in a trip from our community in the rural area to the mountains, to the city. And I was in the bus enjoying the sunrise, the Ishpakapobik. And then in the highway, the terror of my life started, because I have to see dead bodies of people. In the first moment, I saw dead bodies of men and women. And then I see dead bodies of little boys and girls, naked little boys and girls. And I was so scared. And I asked my papa, "Papa, what's going on? ¿Qué está pasando?" And my father, of course, he was scared. And he told me, "Don't look, my son. Don't look, don't look." And he was trying to cover my eye like this. But I saw the whole scenery of terror. I couldn't swallow my saliva. And after we get the city, I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink water. I was so scared, I was shocked. And I was asking to my dad, why? And he told me, "Please, my son, just forget it. Try to forget it. And I couldn't. For 1 week, many nightmares. And then when I was at home, I went to talk to my older sister and asked her, "Fabiana, why they killed those people?" And she told me, she was a teacher at that point, so she had more information about what's going on. And she told me, "You have to be ready, because it's going to be worse." And I'm talking about 1978, 79. And it was true. In 1979, the two groups in confrontation in this war in Guatemala, you can go on internet and Google about the war and you will see who were in confrontation. But for me, what's happened was, they came to my town, and it was a battle in my town. And after the battle was, when they finished it, the National Army remains in my town for 5 years. So they, basically, they were trying to defend the status quo, and the revolution has to be with the Cold War. The revolutionary groups, they wanted to change our system. They wanted to become a communist country. And that's why they were making this revolution. And the problem was that They need soldiers. They need fighters. So they went to the Mayan territory to ask us to help them. Some of the Mayans say yes, but not everyone. And the consequence was that the National Army decided that they have to control the Mayan territory in the Mayan people. And in order to control them, they have to show terror, violence. So when they stayed at my town, when the army established a base in my town for 5 years, they started to control people's life with terror, with violence. They went to kidnap people, torture the people, kill them, and then show them to us. And always saying, we killed them because they are fighters of the leftists. And little by little, each family was affected. And of course, my family started to be affected. First, they went to kill my cousin. Then other cousins, then more friends in my community, my teachers. But the worst part, I think the moment when they destroyed the spirit of that little boy was when they killed my mom's family. And I was 16 then. They killed my mom's family, and then during the funeral, people in our community were not supporting us because they were scared to be seen in the house. And I asked my mom, "Mom, why the community are not with us?" And she told me, "Because they are scared to be seen here, because the army were around." My heart was full of hate. I wanted badly to take revenge. I was so sad. I was scared. I get the worst feelings that human being can be. So after the funeral, it was an incident. When I asked my mom why the people are not supporting us, why the Mayan people are not supporting us, when she says that because they are scared, I make a big mistake. I went to the door to see where were the soldiers, and they were there. And in one moment, we saw each other with one of the soldiers, and he was laughing at me. And then he opened his jacket, and he showed me his gun. And in that moment, I think that I was going to be next. They're going to kill me. I was sure that they were going to kill me. After the funeral, I was shaking because I was waiting for them to kill me. And then I was thinking, what to do? What to do? And what I did was, I have to save my life. I was thinking to escape to the mountains, to escape to Mexico, even to escape to another country, but I didn't have money to do it. So what's happened was, for 1 year, I was at my home, and I didn't go out for 1 year, because I knew that they were waiting for me outside. So each time, when the door was like this, I was so scared. I ran to the bathroom, I ran to the roof. I was hiding for whatever it was. So they destroyed my spirit. Because each day during that year, I became a master of hate. I hate them because what they were doing to us. At the end of the year, my mom decided to take me out of the town, and they sent me out to the city. In the city, I went to study. I went to get my high school and then the university. And I did. It was beautiful to be a student, but I wasn't a student of hate. I was looking for answers. Why? Why they did it? And the more information I got, the more hate I had. My hate went to the international arena because I hate Ronald Reagan because he was supporting the army of Guatemala. And I hate Fidel Castro because he was supporting the leftists. My life was, when I finished university, I was a master of hate. So the question here is that okay to keep that hate in our souls? For me, the answer was no. But it was not easy just to forget it. It wasn't easy to say, I'm not going to hate them anymore. It was not easy. But I believe that hope is part of my life. After I finished university, I started my own healing process. And what I did was went back to my community and talked to the families, asked them to share our stories. I told them, please, we have to share in our stories. Let's write it. And they were scared. They didn't want to share their stories. But after 2 years, we did. So we did, and we produced this book. There are 36 stories here about what happened in that time. I call the book Voices Breaking the Silence, because the perpetrators, when they went to our houses to kill our family, they ordered us to be in silence. So silence was destroying our lives. Silence was traumatic. But fortunately, after the book was published, the light was coming for my life. I started to talk about it. I started to share my story. And little by little, I was feeling the need of let it go. I was feeling the need of be happy again. And I believe that at one point, I decided to be a little boy again. And today, I am 48 years old, but in reality, I am living as a little boy. Like that little boy who was the most happy little boy. I'm trying to take it back. I'm trying to take this little boy back. And one wonderful energy is to believe in energies, to believe that a superpower is controlling our lives, and to give our life to that superpower. And you know what I'm talking about. So I believe in hope as the tool to fix my life. I believe that we have the right to overcome this tragedy. And I'm sharing this experience with my people. I'm healing my heart. The hate was like this when I was a student. And today, yes, hate still is there, but it's like this. And I am controlling the hate today. And that's why it's important to share hope with people with trauma, because it doesn't matter what kind of trauma we have. Trauma is trauma. We have the right to have hope to overcome and go ahead in our lives. And we did it. So the 36 families who are sharing their stories in this book, we keep together as a small organization. And today, we are working in our healing process. We are believing in hope. We believe that we have the right to overcome this moment, this tragedy. We believe that forgiveness is a light in our life, and we are working in it. We are working in this energy. And the superpower is the energy who's helping us to really get it. Forgiveness is a redemption for us. But still, we have challenges. So still, we have to have food in our tables. Still, we have to give food to our children. So what we're doing is together we are keeping and we are working in this beautiful project of create something beautiful with our skills. So after this service, feel free to go to the table there and see the work that we're doing as part of our healing process. But I would like to finish my presentation, and I will ask Will to read a poem. When I was thinking about then, I have to believe in hope. I was asking myself, but what is hope? Can I buy hope? Can I believe in hope? And what I did was I went to write about it. And I would like to share with you this poem about my hope. Please, Will.
Hope. Spiritual melody, crystallized and creative force to dispel my terrors, to blend my fears, to dispel my hatred, to see the light. They pushed me into the swamp of terror. They pushed me into the abyss of hatred. I was cracked by impotence. I could not see the horizon. But now I see the light. It is hope, the teacher of my heart, who taught me the virtues of truth. The hope throws away my fear of the history of injustice. It releases me. It is hope that has rebuilt my being. It is hope that has given me a home again. It is hope that has taught me to believe again. There were many fears. There was much dread. There were many pains. That hope helped me to overcome. Hope is the spiritual melody that saved a slave of hate as I was wandering in the sloughs of fear, in the darkness of hatred, but now I see the glowing horizon. Now I can see the light again.
Thank you, Julio.
So now I just want to finish with this message. I was the most happy little boy on the planet, and today I am taking back this little boy in my heart. It is possible to overcome. And if you have a trauma in your lives, just believe in hope. Thank you so much. Thank you.